We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh my goodness, this is Center Stage. It is now 9:09, and you know this is the hour where we get a chance to talk about all things arts and entertainment right here in the great state of Minnesota. And because of you, we have a whole lot to offer. You are so supportive of the arts here in our great state. Now, if you love the music of Broadway, you have to stop by the Ordway on Thursday night for From the Age of Aquarius to the Story of Tonight. You gotta join us for Rise Up, an evening of Broadway songs about passion and protest, featuring music from Hair, The Color Purple, Hamilton, and more. In fact, they're going to shine a light on groundbreaking musicals that aim to amplify revolutionary moments in time. And that's what it feels like theater needs to move into, right? So Ordway Cabaret features Twin Cities-based performers in a cabaret format, adding their own stories to the songs as they critique and celebrate the spectacular art form of the Broadway musical. Now, artists Brigham Young is part of this. John Jameson. And then, of course, Amy K. Bryant. We're going to talk about the whole cast with my guest in studio with me tonight. I'm so excited. The last time I saw her, she was in Minneapolis working and living, and now she's over at the Ordway. Do you know her? We love her, and she is here in studio. Kelly Foster Warder. She is the producer of director of this incredible show that is coming up on Thursday. Welcome, honey.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to see you. Have you cut your hair?
I did cut my hair.
Well, hey now, do you feel free?
I do feel free. My daughter wishes it was long, but she's not willing to do my hair in the morning, so this is what
get we over get. It, honey.
Yeah. Sorry, Leah.
Is this a new thing? Tell me how long this cabaret has been going on.
This is new. We had our first cabaret in January. Mm-hmm. We have a new producing artistic director at the Ordway, Rod Cates, and working with our team, programming team, we wanted to take the opportunity to bring people together to talk about and critique and celebrate the musical. We've just been talking about that. The Broadway musical has had such an impact on our society, and mostly for good, but also there are tricky things, and we don't want to shy away from that. We want to talk about all of that. And we also want to give artists a chance to talk about what it means to them. Often artists are given words, but in our cabaret, you're going to hear them sing the songs that have meant so much to them, but also hear their own stories and how it's impacted them. So we're thrilled to be at the second installment here in May.
Before we jump into what's going to be offered on Thursday, let's talk about the importance of musical theater. The bottom line is that musicals really make a lot of money for a lot of theaters, from Broadway all the way down to community theaters. Really, it does. And so to know that people can place themselves in their lives, you know, throughout their storied life. Oh, that song is, I was such and such a place when I went to go see that particular play and heard that song. Are you going to present songs from some really great plays that are really well known, kind of the staples of musical theater?
We'll do a little bit of both. You'll hear songs that almost everybody knows now from Hamilton, and songs from Hair, which people might remember. A Brand New Day from The Wiz is one of the greatest songs, I think, ever. But then also maybe songs that you haven't heard yet or you didn't know that it was attached to a musical. So we're excited to bring all of that into it. But musical theater has always impacted society really in powerful ways. I mean, that's what the arts is about, right? It's reflecting what's happening in our world back to us and also who we could be. And I love that about a musical. And I love that we are... Today, as we're telling stories, I was just in New York this week, as they're telling stories, we're seeing more stories represented, more people that look like the whole of America on those stages telling stories, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, there is some confusion about a play with music versus a musical. What is your take on that?
Well, let's see. I mean, a musical is a play with music, I guess, technically, but in a musical, most specifically, action should be driven by the songs that they're singing, right? So what I think is great, I come at this from a dancer's point of view, so I am a dancer first. I'd maybe not as flexible as I once was, but I could still do a time step. But the way they say it is that when you words aren't enough, you sing, and when the song's not enough, you dance. And a musical lets us do all of those things.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's well said. I'd take that on a T-shirt any day.
Right.
When you talk about musicals, of course, there have been decades dedicated to musicals. We can go back to the 30s, even some in the 20s, right? And here we are still relying on some of those staples that we grew up singing those songs and watching those pieces. You know, Hello, Dolly was just at the Ordway, that sort of thing. And there are new musicals that are really making us look at a musical in a different way. It's about what's happening right now today. When you have that juxtaposition between the old musicals and the new ones today, you're presenting a little bit of everything. How is that working on Thursday night?
Well, we'll talk about that. There are musicals that at their time were revolutionary. At our first cabaret, we talked about Showboat. And we look at a show like Showboat now that looks at an interracial relationship as scandalous. And we hear some of the language in from today's lens. It feels
funny.
It feels funny and even maybe harmful. But at the time, the authors were really trying to push a conversation forward. And it was imperfect. It was very imperfect.
In 20 years
from now.
Don't
call it was imperfect. But
yeah.
also it helped move the story along. And that's what the arts can do. I had the opportunity to choreograph Ragtime recently,
wow,
which is a beautiful musical about the turn of the century and three different people groups, Jewish people, African American people, and the European people and how they interacted together. And what was amazing about that musical and the experience we had showing it now was people could have conversations that they wouldn't otherwise have.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring your friends and you can sit and see a piece of art and then you can talk about it in a way that is, you can move forward. Right now when people are struggling to talk about these things as a society, we are just want to Facebook our anger. Instead, you can come and experience something together, and it opens up the conversation. And I feel like that's the role of the arts. And
if there's nothing else that theater does, is it starts the conversation, and I'm grateful for that. And it's interesting because the singers are going to talk about their stories and how these pieces relate to them, right?
Exactly. And we've been very specific in curating the songs and also the folks on the stage. We're looking to give voice to stories that haven't always been told from the stage. And so everyone that you'll hear has a perspective that comes from maybe a voice that's been marginalized in the past or maybe a perspective that hasn't been heard. And our hope is that we'll find commonalities and we'll see in people that at first glance maybe don't seem like us, but we can relate to the story that they're telling.
Mm-hmm. And the stories that they're telling, is their choice to tell it or do they submit several stories and then you pick them out?
That's a great question. We're working together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to our whole team, not just me, and this time I'm in the role of director, but the whole team at the Ordway is really supporting this. And it's important to us that the stories are theirs and that they're authentically coming from them. And so we're just helping to guide them, which is being a teacher, which is my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. So why is it called Rise Up?
Well, this time it's called Rise Up because we're looking at times when people in our country, and also there's a little Les Mis for you Les Mis folks, when people said, no, something is wrong and we need to do something and we need to step into that. Or a voice hasn't been heard yet and we need to amplify that voice. And so we're looking at the times when people chose to rise up in the musicals that chose to highlight those moments.
And thus you're also picking songs from musicals that just came out within the last decade, right?
Well, of course. You can't do Rise Up without Hamilton.
Exactly. And is that one of the songs from Hamilton you'll
be
doing?
It is. We're doing a medley of from Hamilton, so a few songs that you know.
Yeah.
And also
are you
from
doing
here,
Wait For It?
Wait
you know.
For It. John Jameson is really singing that song.
I know he is singing it. I sang that song Thursday night, and I cannot tell you how excited I was.
Well, you got to come out.
I have got to come and
see. Well, we want you singing a song with us on one of these things.
I would love to.
Our next cabaret is going to look at, from a women's perspective, and a whole group of amazing powerful women.
And
I think we need you.
I think so. Well, I'm honored that you would even consider me. The Ordway features Twin Cities-based performers, which I love about that. And you guys have put on some phenomenal pieces over the last decade. Seriously, there are some pieces I went to go see and I'm like, we have just as good as what New York has. I get really excited about the level of talent that we have here. Can you tell us a little bit more about all those that are in? You talked about John Jameson. I know that Bree Graham is in it. I know that Amy Bryant is in this piece. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other ones?
Max Witanowicz, David Carey, Deidre Cochran,
Debbie Coleman, right? Is that the name, Debbie Coleman?
It's Deidre Cochran, and she's new and fresh and amazing. Well, new to me and fresh and amazing. Let's see, there are seven folks. I don't want to miss.
Yeah, I think we got everybody.
Do we get them?
I think we did.
Bree. Oh no, Hope Norquist. We do not want to miss Hope.
Oh, Hope.
She sings
Burn
from Hamilton, and
it is
straight off of the stage.
Wow.
I think what's exciting about this group of folks is that they're in themselves, they're all so different, but yet they're just really complementing each other. But these are people that you'll see on stages all over the Twin Cities.
Right.
And we're so thankful at the Ordway that they would come out and do this. Because not only are they performing for the public, and people can get tickets at ordway.org right now, but we also have two school shows that are sold out.
Beautiful.
So during the day, almost 2,000 kids will get to come and see and hear and experience this. Mm-hmm. And we write study guides, something the Ordway does really well. I'm new to the Ordway, so I feel like I can still brag on the place a bit. But over 60,000 students come and
Absolutely.
See and experience music and theater and art every year. And
I believe Circle
guides.
Of Stars is what helps that happen.
That's
amazing.
That's
well, congratulations
right.
to you.
Thank you.
They are lucky to get you, darling.
Oh, I appreciate that. I feel lucky.
That is Kelly Foster Warder, who is joining us tonight. And if you want more information, all you have to do is go to ordway.org. Again, that's ordway.org, and look for Rise Up. Again, it's From the Age of Aquarius to the Story of Tonight. It's been a pleasure having you on. Good to see you.
Good night, kids. Go to sleep.
Good night, kids. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:22 here at WCCO. I want to let you know, first of all, I have to say thank you to everyone who came out on April 25th, this past Thursday, and supported me in the show called This Is Me. And I had such a great time. And thank you to None Above for performing. Thank you to my band, Billy Steele, Kenyari Jackson, Troy Norton, and Jonathan B. Thank you all for joining me on stage. I am so grateful for my sister Javita, my brother Fred. I mean, it was just a family affair, and we had a blast down there at the Dakota. Now, Javita and I are performing there on the 14th, May 14th. My sister Javita Steele and myself will be there with the band. You got to come on down and support. We love to see you, and thank you for your continued support. Also want to mention Metamorphosis through May 19th at the Guthrie. Tenderly, the Rosemary Clooney musical through June 8th at the Old Log Theater. Marjorie Prime Thursday, May 19th at Park Square. And Cry It Out through May 12th at the Yellow Tree Theater. Well, now it's time for our favorite lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune. It is Rohan Preston. Hi, darling.
How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to hear your voice. What are you up to?
Oh, I had a weekend of shows and volleyball.
Shows and volleyball? Volleyball season has started?
Volleyball season is year-round for us because my daughter is in a club, doing club volleyball that goes until the end of June, and we have tournaments almost every weekend.
Wow. Well, congratulations to her. And last year they did really well, right?
Yes.
Well, we'll see what happens.
They played all over. This weekend was the national qualifiers, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, ended today at the convention center. We were recently in Louisville, and next weekend is Rochester, and Florida's coming up. And so it's wonderful and fun and seeing different parts of the country.
I just don't know how you have time for it. I love that you do. You make time for the babies. Hey, I want to ask you right off the bat, man. You've been hearing about John Singleton?
I feel so
torn
up about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been reading the news, and, you know, it says that he's in a coma. I just hope and pray that he comes through. So I just feeling really, really shook up about that.
Yeah, film director John Singleton, you know, at a very young age, has now had a stroke and has been in ICU ever since he came into the hospital. And, of course, Shaletta and I were looking around, and she found an article that talked about he may not make it. And I hate to say that because we don't really have the know for sure if that's true. But, boy, it's been really tragic to know he's been in a coma this long.
Ditto. I mean, I've actually read some of the news, and I haven't been avoiding it per se, but I've been hopeful, you know, that, again, that it will come through. You know?
Well, we only have a few more minutes. Tell me what you're up to this week.
So I went to see Shul, a new play by Sheldon Wolfe at the Minnesota Jewish Theater.
Yep. You really like going over there. You go over there quite a bit. It's wonderful.
I do. And no, actually, you know, what was interesting in a tragic way, of course, I went last night, open on Saturday night, and of course, the
last day of Passover, right?
Last day of Passover, mm-hmm. and also the performance was dedicated to the synagogue in California that was attacked.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, it's very, very tragic. This is a show about legacy. The plot is there's a synagogue that's just on its last legs, and the young president of the synagogue wants to figure out what to do. Should they sell? Should they get rid of it? I mean, there's a hole in the roof. There's dust all over. It's in a state of decay. They need money, and they need members, and they need young people to be interested in it. And so it's a question about legacy, and to have this show premiere on that day, the last day of Passover, and then coupled with the attack, it's very, very poignant and very, very meaningful.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because theater has been really good at making a statement when something really tragic in our country happens. It just theaters don't hesitate. As you remember, when Pence came in to see Hamilton, you know, there were people
Absolutely.
Who booed him. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the actors got on stage and said, no, you know, it's not about booing him. And he's welcome. But then they had something to say. I love that about theater, telling their truth and addressing it, you know, immediately. So is that something that they've always talked about doing, or is this just something they fell into doing?
I think theater, I mean, if you think about Western theater traces its origins to the Greeks. And,
right.
you know, there are obviously other forms that elsewhere in the world that are similar, older, and all of that. But it's intimately tied up to democracy, to teaching values, to reflecting sort of the importance, the entertaining the people, teaching the people, educating the people, having the people commune together. It's a place of gathering, a place of exchange. It's totally, totally natural for theater to comment on what's going on today, for theater to reflect what's going on today, and to be both an outlet and a refuge and a place to where we struggle, we commune, we mix it up, as it were, discuss and debate and engage with each other as we do in the rest of the society. I mean, if you think about it, there are places like church where that kind of conversation can happen under the
sacred spaces. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so those are really, really important, but we have fewer and fewer of them. You know, kids in school get to do that. When we go to a concert, it's not really that kind of an exchange, although I love concerts and I love music.
Yeah.
You know? But theater especially is that way.
Okay, give me 30 more seconds. I had a chance to emcee a program last night at Mixed Bullet Theater where Oscar Eustace was featured. Of course, he is the artistic director of the Public Theater in New York City. It was really quite a remarkable conversation. And have you had a chance to meet him and talk with him?
Oh, I have. In fact, I had a big story in the paper for him, and he was talking about some of these very same things, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's like how important the importance of theater at a critical like time like this in our history.
That's right. And they're bold enough. Theater is always bold enough to make the statement that others may not be comfortable with, but it has to be made.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's remarkable. It's one thing I love about theater. So really quickly, where are you going next? What are you going to see?
So this week, I just had a really intense week, and Next week, the Children's Theater is opening Matilda. Penumbra Theater is also opening The Brothers Paranormal, which is a show.
I'm talking about that next, in fact.
Yep, Ty Hunting Brothers. Mm-hmm. And so I'll see those this week. And I'll also have another volleyball tournament next weekend in Rochester.
How about that? It's always a pleasure having you, dude. And as you're traveling all over the country, just think about us lonely people here in Minnesota. Hey, congratulations to your daughter. I can actually say congratulations to her team as well as the twins at the same time. How about that?
I love that.
All right. You take care of yourself, Rohan.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you want more information, just go to startribune.com/Rohan Preston. We'll be back in a moment. Well, I am seriously excited about talking about this collaboration that is happening. It opens on this coming Thursday. I believe it's May 2nd. Is that correct?
That's
May 2nd. It's called Brothers Paranormal. You just heard Rohan Preston mention it. And it's a presentation from Theater Mew and the Penumbra Theater of St. Paul. And joining me in studio tonight to talk about this is Eric Sharp of Theater Mew. You know him and you love him. Marketing Manager, Artistic Representative, and also Tiffany Johnson of Penumbra Theater in St. Paul. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks so much for having us, Geraldine.
Okay, so this is a big deal. Has Theater Mew and Penumbra ever come together before?
Never.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, this is our very first co-production, and it just seems like one of those things that's been in the making for so long, and we're excited to have it happen.
All right, so tell us a little bit about this, Eric, Brothers Paranormal.
Absolutely. So playwright Prince Gomel Vilas, we've known him at...
Thank you for pronouncing that.
Yeah. he markets himself as the world's only Thai-American playwright. And he says that if you can find another one, he wants you to prove him wrong. But we go way back. I met Prince way back in 2008 when Mu was one of the co-hosts of the second National Asian American Theater Festival and Conference that was hosted here in Minneapolis. And he is really prolific. He's had work that's premiered all over the country, ranging from small kind of like singer-songwriter type musicals to plays, and this theme keeps coming up for him about the supernatural.
Yeah.
And so it's a fun opportunity, I also think, for our audiences from both theaters to be able to see how our communities can inform one another and how they can coexist in interesting ways.
You know, paranormal activity has been going on for a long time, and people have really been putting it in place. I remember Jungle Theater kind of addressed this a couple of years ago in their season. So, Tiffany, in putting something like this together, two totally different theaters coming together to do something like this, how does it work with the characterization of this piece?
Well, it's been very, very interesting for us, and you bring up the paranormal aspect, and what that has helped us to do is really take a look at the spirituality behind each of the cultures and see how it plays into the interconnectivity between the two of them. It's given us a great opportunity to bring both in the African-American cast, also an Asian-American cast, and take a look at both of those storylines and how they work together to show how we're more connected than we know.
Yeah, we're not so different, are we? Were you surprised at that, Eric?
No, I wasn't, actually. And the reason is because, you know, not only have I, you know, been an artist and an administrator at Mu over the years, but I've also worked at Penumbra as well. I work in their race workshop programming and as a teaching artist. And I really think it's a value of Sarah's, and I know on our end as well, to make sure that communities of color are in dialogue with each other. When I go out and teach for Penumbra, for example, you know, I'll have people raise their hands and say, raise your hand if you think that a talk by Penumbra Theater, you're going to have a host or a facilitator that's African-American. And sure enough, a lot of people raise their hands mm-hmm. because they know the history of Penumbra. And so, of course, I am not identifying in that way, but I say that, you know, we're engaging teaching artists of many different backgrounds. And so for me, that idea that we would be in collaboration is not a strange one. It just hasn't happened on the production side. And I think that when folks walk into Penumbra Theater, they're not expecting it, which makes it really fun for us.
That's pretty cool. And then you get up, Tiffany, right?
Yeah.
Or somebody else gets up and says something. When the first question I would have for you would be, ancestors, honoring our ancestors is two things these two cultures have in common. Is that addressed in this piece?
It is. It's a very large part of the storyline, and it really helps us to really remember kind of where we come from and where we're going. A large part of the story is about migration and about displacement, both from this Thai American perspective, but also this Black couple that has actually come to the Midwest after Hurricane Katrina.
Right. This is an interesting piece of this story.
Exactly. And so in that, it's kind of asking this question of where we are and kind of where we've come from and where we're going. And you'll see how the spiritual aspect helps our characters to answer and come to terms with those questions.
Mm-hmm. But asking the question of where you're from and where you're going, right? Two totally different questions that have to be addressed in different ways.
Absolutely.
Right? And so how does that work?
Yeah, well, and, you know, even just that question, where are you from? I know for many folks of color and for Asian Americans that I know, that can be itself a very loaded question. Where are you from? Or you're considered not American. You're considered
right.
that kind of perpetual foreigner. And then I can only imagine for the African-American couple that's in this story being displaced from the place that you love and have grown up in, and then come to a place like the Midwest that, you know, a lot of times we talk about Minnesota Nice, we talk about how welcoming our state is, and it is. But there's also that kind of other aspect of it, which is that it can be hard to make community when you're not from a place like the Midwest.
Yeah, that is so true. At the same time, I want to make sure we use the word ghost, because we really are dealing with that, Tiffany, right?
Yes.
And the audience can't sometimes handle that well when you're talking about ancestors and where you've been and where you're going. Not where you are, but where you've been and where you're going. Why are those two questions most important?
I think they're most important because they are always relevant. Both questions, they kind of, in a sense, seem to be moving as we are throughout mm-hmm. life. And as we'll see in this play, that this spirit is, it's something that is alive. And we're trying to find this answer as we travel. We'll find that, you know, this spirit is at unrest, trying to find answer as we travel. And that is kind of a theme that we find. And so I think the characters just kind of help us to remember and help us to see, as audience members, as people who live here, as people who are coming here, that we are still traveling and we're still trying to find those same answers.
I also think that that's great that you said that, Tiffany, because I think when we're talking specifically about ghost stories, a lot of times what we're asking is, why has that ghost not been able to travel to the
exactly.
other side, right?
Exactly.
Why has that ghost been forced to stick around? And more times than not in these tales, it is to help or impart something to the living, right?
Mm-hmm. I have to ask this question, and please forgive me right off of the bat, because it was one Halloween, and I actually had a psychic come on, and it was by phone. And she said to me, I saw Jesus the other night as a ghost. And the first question I had was, what did he look like?
Mm.
Right. So when you start talking about paranormal activity, when you start talking about ghost, people are going to say, is this an Asian inspired Thai looking ghost? Is it an African American ghost? What do you say to the audience?
Yeah, it's an Asian American ghost. And so that's particularly, I think, what unnerves the couple that starts having these paranormal experiences.
Which is a Black couple.
House. That's right.
That just got over Katrina.
Yeah.
Or just
yeah.
endured.
So
they're
Katrina. Like, what is this Asian
like,
ghost
what?
Doing in our house?
You're at the wrong house, wrong neighborhood,
exactly.
right? Right. So you deal with that in this particular piece. And I can just imagine, I don't want to, you know, of course, tell anything you don't want to tell, but I can just imagine the outcome of that and that being a really critical piece. The takeaway, since this is opening next week, or this week, this Thursday,
yes.
right? This is opening this Thursday. And of course, if you want tickets, you can go to penumbratheater.org. Do you also have tickets at Moo, or is it just Penumbra?
Nope, you can order them right at Penumbra's website.
Penumbratheater.org. Just know that people are going to be waiting to see what that ghost looked like and how that ghost and that African-American couple will handle this whole experience. It's just like the question of Jesus. Mm. What did he look like? Because what I'm expecting to see, or what somebody else is expecting to see, is completely different. But I can't wait to see this. I really want to come out and see it. I think it's a unique collaboration. And if there's one thing you want people to know about this, what would it be, Eric?
Well, what I would say is that folks that are accustomed to and really excited about seeing horror movies and might have seen movies like The Ring or
Oh my gosh, we don't even have snow in the television anymore. Just think my grandchildren are going to go, what was that?
Right. But there's a lot of these stories that have made their way from Asia onto American movie screens, and that this experience would be super unique because you're getting that experience in a theater live in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you, Tiffany? What do you want people to seek out? Because, you know, people are probably wondering, are they going to be is there someone that'll, you know, read our palms or, you know, talk to us about how real this really is? Or
what I would say is to come with an open mind. The fact is that this is happening in co-production with Theater Moo on the Penumbra stage, and this is something very different than what our core audience is accustomed to. So come with an open mind, come excited. It's a very suspenseful and chilling play, but it is so eye-opening and it touches on so many important topics. So to come with an open mind and ready to be entertained.
Remember, it is not a religious piece. It is a spiritual piece.
Yes. There you go. I also just wanted to mention real quick, Jerilyn, that on May 12th and 19th, from 6 to 8 p.m., we are hosting Ghost Stories in the Park, which is another part of our co-production with Penumbra. And so that'll be in the park right there in the MLK Center. And Sebastian Joe's, the amazing local ice cream company, has come up with a new Brothers Paranormal flavor. So that'll be a really fun thing for all of the family members.
Not a ghastly taste by any means, right?
No, no. It's supposed to be delicious.
Wow. Very unique. I think it's an incredible idea. I'm really excited. This is already playing in New York, correct? Mm-hmm. Or just about to open right before you do?
Yep.
So will you tour this by any chance?
Oh, I wish. I think this is, for right now, the production that we have slated. But when we sell it out, thanks to your listeners, maybe we can make plans for the future.
Let's talk real quickly about the cast. Who's in it?
Absolutely.
So from Penumbra Theater, we have two company members. We have Regina Marie Williams.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And fabulous.
Incredible. And she is going to be playing Delia. And we also have James Craven, who is going to be playing the husband, Felix.
Legendary.
Yes.
Okay. And would you like to say anyone else?
Absolutely. And then from the Moo side, we have Sherwin Resurrection and Kurt Kwan, two of our veteran actors that play the title characters, the Brothers Paranormal. And then we have a really talented newcomer, Sarah Michelle De Hoya, who is playing the ghost. And then we also have Leslie Ishii, who is rounding out the cast, who is a really talented actor on the national scene that we're lucky to have in town for this production.
Incredible. Yes. Incredible. Congratulations to Penumbra Theater and Moo. I mean, Theater Moo, you guys are doing such great work. Penumbra changing it up. I love having these new leaders in place that are leading us to something even bigger and better. So come with your eyes and your mind open, right? Thank you both for coming in studio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
If you are interested in tickets, just go to penumbratheater.org. Is there a phone number that they can go to the old-fashioned way for, to get tickets? Anyone have that?
Absolutely.
I might
it's
have
651-224-3180.
Uh-huh. That's it, 224-31. Jerilyn, use your glasses. 3180. There you go. What a pleasure. Congratulations. I intend to make it to this. And how long is it playing?
We run through
May 26th.
Only May 26th. That's not very long. So get out, run,
yes.
Go see this. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with our last guest in just a moment. Welcome back to All Things Arts and Entertainment. We like to call it Center Stage right here at WCCO, and we appreciate you sticking and staying with us. Our final interview tonight is with Mike Munson. And Mike Munson's blues influences include Fred McDowell, Jack Owens, and Jesse May Hemphill. Now, they all hail from areas of rural Mississippi that Munson visits often. His music is a masterclass in creative blues composition and performance. Lyrically compelling, full of unique turns and twists, yet never losing sight of his art form and the music roots. And that's important because that's what makes us who we are. He is playing a fun show with Jimmy Duck Holmes at the Hook and Ladder next Friday night, and you don't want to miss it. And he is joining us tonight to talk about it. Hey, now, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Good evening. Good to hear your voice.
Yours too. Welcome to WCCO Radio. You know, I was reading about your influences, you know, who you really kind of took to in learning your art. Fred McDowell, Jack Owens, and Jesse, is it Mac Hemphill?
Jesse May Hemphill.
Thank you, Jesse May Hemphill. When I read about all of them, they're really around the same era of playing the blues. And here you are today. Do you stick to that era? They were all born in the early 1900s. Here you are playing this music and keeping that tradition going. Tell me how you got into this.
Gosh, yeah. That's kind of a long and winding road. How I managed from St. Paul, Minnesota, all the way down there. But I mean, we have the great luxury of just all these fantastic recordings from so many great players, and somehow those made it in front of me, and they really grabbed me as far as being some of the best guitar playing and best singing that I had ever heard, and that's kind of the stuff that I've been chasing down ever since. And they say that you don't really necessarily pick the blues, but the blues kind of picks you, and that's kind of how I feel. That was just the music that I heard, and that's kind of what set me down that path, which got me.
Well, you were one of the lucky ones, man. You were one of the lucky ones.
I guess. I don't know.
Let's talk a little bit about your home being Winona. I love that you are in Winona. Are you still there?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, yep.
It's just perfect because of what you sing about the blues. It's kind of that the atmosphere of Winona, the way it looks, the whole aesthetic of it could inspire great music, great blues songs coming out from that mm-hmm. area. How has that been for you in writing? Has it inspired you?
Absolutely. I mean, Winona sits right in between Highway 61 and the Mississippi River, and those are two solid connections to the land where the blues began and so much American music came out of,
right.
And traveled up and down Highway 61 and up and down the Mississippi River. And so just being situated right there is just a constant reminder every single day about where this music comes from and who it comes from, and how far it can travel and who it can possibly reach, you know, all the way up to Duluth and Two Harbors and Grand Marais, Minnesota, all the way down to, you know, New Orleans. And we're all connected.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think of Minnesota as the place for blues. You know, you've got the Minnesota Sound, you just had the Prince Weekend, and so much more. Do you think that the blues gets lost here?
I don't. There's such a rich history on the West Bank, and people like Spider John and Dave Ray and Willie Murphy and Bonnie Raitt came out of that scene. And there's so much history that's still happening.
So you do feel as though, you know, it's not getting lost here. There's plenty of audience to receive the blues. We love it. You know, some people say country is where, you know, it's just blues backwards. You get your life back, you know? And so here you are performing the blues at the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge. And of course, when people come down to the Hook, there's all types of music. Are you seeing that growing audience for what you do?
I do, you know, and I think people in Minnesota have enjoyed blues for a long time, but I think people are coming, continually realizing that it is the backbone and the basis of so much American music and rock and roll and R&B and all that's the basis for the Minneapolis Sound and rap and hip hop, and it's I mean, just like, it's all people and we're all connected and the music is all connected too, you know. And so I think once people get a chance to listen to it, to hear it, especially in person, they're like, oh, you know, I do like this. And it's not real far outside of the things I do like normally, you know. So I really like taking people by surprise.
Yeah. So when you're writing blues music, I mean, where do you find your source of joy? Because when you're writing blues, it's not always positive, you know.
this is true. And I think that's the balance. I mean, you know, we're all living, and we all have stories, and we all have ups and downs. And and I've had some, I wouldn't say any more or less than others. But then you just come across people too that maybe dealt a little bit rougher hand, and And some of their stories, I think, are the ones that are sometimes more helpful to share. You know, like, it's not always about me per se, but it's just trying to get at that human story and that again, that notion that we're all connected and we do have so much more in common than we sometimes allow ourselves to.
That's true.
Get in touch with.
Yeah. Now, you did the live album, right? Live at IDS.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Rose Hill. When did Rose Hill come out?
Rose Hill came out officially in the fall. Yep.
Oh, congratulations on that, man.
Thank you.
You're going to be playing some of those songs. Let's take a listen to one of the songs.
Well, he took me to the river. It's high and wide. The only way over is on the other side.
So is that you playing this on this mic? Mike, is that you playing?
That is, yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure we had the right song, so forgive me for jumping in like that. But man, that's some serious plucking. And of course, it's not just, it sounds like, you know, what we know from down south. So Mississippi, you talked about that, and Tennessee and those kind of states. Tell me about the woman that inspired you. She played electric guitar, didn't she?
Yeah, she sure did. Jessie Mahampill was often referred to as the She-Wolf. And she came out of a town called Senatobia, Mississippi. And that's up in the hill country. And that music has a really strong rhythmic backbone that makes it through to the guitar playing alone. And that style of music is just meant for dancing kind of all day and all night. And that was some of the music that I was really drawn to. And Jessie May started out as a drum player, and she didn't really start playing guitar until her, I think, late 30s and early 40s.
Well, I just love that she inspired you, and I really congratulate you on doing the show coming up. This is Friday, May 10th at Hook and Ladder Theater, correct?
You got it, yep.
You do not want to miss it. All you have to do is go to Hook Minneapolis. That's hookmpls.com, thehookmpls.com. What a pleasure having you on tonight. I sure hope you can join us again.
Much.
All right, you take care. Well, it's been a pleasure being on with you. We have got to go, and we'll come back with the Mom and Michael Hour in just a moment.
Friday on him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.